Good morning, church. Kids, head on down to children's church. They're going to go have a good time. Ooh, Grozinger's in charge. This is awesome. If he can't entertain them, he'll wrestle them into submission. Hey, it is what a difference a week makes. A week ago, it was 61 degrees, is as warm as we could get it in this place. Last Wednesday, it was 33 below zero when I tried to start my truck. I got it started, and I was looking at that thinking, this is ridiculous. So we've had a 70-degree temperature change since Wednesday, and it's incredible. But over here, we got John. He's over here whining because he was in Arizona having himself a great time, and he said he, in 48 hours, has experienced a 120-degree temperature change. So all I got to say is it could be worse. It could be worse. I am so glad you guys are here today, and just kind of excited about the fact that we're reading through the Bible together, and we're doing some neat things, and we're seeing some great things. And it's forcing us to go outside the box and look at things from different perspectives. But what's cool is what we're seeing is God has been faithful since the garden, even when his people have not been. That God's promises and his purposes never change. And he's on a mission, and he will succeed at redeeming all who choose to follow him by faith. He will finish his work. And one day he's going to return, and he is going to do an amazing thing. He's going to take us to be with him forever. But what was interesting is I went through the readings this past week, and I looked at the different aspects of what we've been dealing with. I played around in Galatians a little bit because we've been hanging out heavy in the Old Testament during January. So I wanted to bring in some things from Galatians. But to do that, you've got to look all the way back to see this incredible story, because Galatians is filled with the Old Testament. It's filled with the story about Abraham and his faithfulness. And it was really cool. But before we can get to that, I've entitled today's sermon, The Only Thing. You can call it the one thing that matters. The one thing that makes the difference between us and the rest of the world. Us who believe and trust in God by faith, and the rest of the world who trust in what they're doing to try to be good enough before God. Because I don't know about you guys, but after 48 years, I finally realized something, that no matter how hard I try, no matter how good I try to be, it will never be enough. I need Jesus, and I believe you do too, because he is our only hope. But what's interesting is when I put the title there, I didn't think about it. It brought me back to this story of when Jesus was asked, what's the one thing that matters? Remember that? The Pharisees weren't being fair. The Sadducees were awful sad. They were trying to kill off Jesus. They were messing with him. And they asked, what's the most important command? And Jesus responded with, you want to know what the most important, the number one thing is? Love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And he says, oh, by the way, he says, the second thing is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I want to develop that just real quickly. You see, before we can really love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we have to be able to believe and have faith and trust him completely. Because you will never do that unless you put your faith and trust completely in him and him alone. Because if you're still trying to earn it and be good enough, you have not completely trusted him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. If you're hung up on how good you are and what you're doing and what you're accomplishing, and let me tell you something, reading through your Bible this year is a good thing. Getting up early in the morning and reading the Bible is a good thing. It's a great thing. It will guide and direct your life. But if you're saying, look what I do, guess what? You've missed the whole point of your relationship with God. He is working at redeeming and saving your life. And when you you lay everything, we sang that song, all the kings and queens will cast their crowns at the feet of Jesus. When you cast all of your righteousness and all of your unrighteousness at his feet, he can work with that. But if you're trying to do it on your own and say, look at me and what I'm doing, God, he's going, oh, you're missing it. You're still loving too much of yourself. But the second thing is, out of the natural overflow of love and faith and trust in God, you should be loving those around you. And that is this, that you love them more than you love yourself. You need to be loving the people around you, whoever they are, more than you love yourself. If you're still hung up on you first and them last or second or whatever they are, you're missing the point. Because God so loved you, you should love them exactly like that. Which is probably more than you love yourself. Because quite honestly, we know ourselves better than anybody else. The only person that knows us better than ourselves is God himself, and he loves us, and because he can love us, we should be able to love anybody, no matter what they've done, no matter where they're at in life, no matter what their circumstances are. You need to love them anyways, and you need to always be willing to put them first, even before yourself. And that is the toughest thing. That is one of the toughest things to do, because we need to be able to be willing to lay aside everything like God did, that he put us first, that we're willing to lay that stuff aside, lay ourselves aside and say, how can I help you? Just like God did with us. Because while we were yet sinners, when we didn't deserve it, when we were falling apart at the seams, when we were going straight to hell and we deserved it, he said, hold on, let me stop the universe for a minute. Let me send my son so that he can die on the cross so that you can have a chance to receive my grace and love. And that's what we have been charged to do as his children. Anything less than that is a complete waste of our lives. You know, the number one reason Jesus talked about is absolutely true. The number one thing, it's the beginning, it's the middle, and it's the end of our relationship with God. We start by faith, loving God with our heart and our mind and our soul, and we begin serving him with all of our strength. And he develops that through our lifetime. But it begins in a very personal way. And the second is true because of the fact that when people see us going from serving ourselves and worried and concerned about us all the time, and we get more concerned about others, they go, what has made that change? And we can say, God loved me, so I have to love you. That opens up a door for so many people. When we go, I had a guy this week tell me, there's no reason you should be talking to me. You shouldn't love me. You shouldn't care about me. I've judged you. I've held everything against you. Why are you doing this? And I'm like, because God loves me, I love you. And by the way, God loves you more than you can imagine. And this guy's life's in a whirlwind. It's in a tailspin, and it's so fun to watch God go, ha, 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 got you right where I can change you. And the only way that we can do that is when we put our faith and absolute trust in God. When we put our faith and our whole hearts at his feet and say, God, I trust you because you are always faithful and true to me. And you know what's interesting is this. It's easy, I don't know about you guys, it's easy for me to put my trust and faith in someone who is willing to die for me and give his life up for me. It's easy for me to trust Jesus because he did something that I can't. He gave his life to save me. So I can put my faith and trust in him, and I'm like going, okay, no problem. I can do that. But here's the interesting thing. Long before Jesus came on the scene, long before he became the focal point for our faith, there was a man who lived by faith in God before Jesus came. Because here's the thing. Jesus' great, 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 super great, dude, great granddaddy is a guy named Abraham. We've spent a lot of time looking at him and looking at his life, if you've been reading through, and it's really awesome because he was a man of faith. He trusted God. He believed in God. And here's the cool thing about people who don't know about Jesus. If they're willing to trust God and they're going, you know what, there's something bigger than me. There's something bigger than myself and my accomplishments. I believe there's a God. What's really cool is this, is God is looking for those people to help them out. The big question was, what about the people who have never heard about Jesus? Does God send them to hell? Well, Abraham never heard about Jesus' name. He believed and knew that God existed, and he learned that there was going to come a Savior for the world. He didn't know Jesus, but he believed and trusted and had faith in God. And what happens is this, is when people put their faith and their trust in God, what's cool is God begins to remove the barriers and the obstacles so they'll ultimately end up with Jesus. Because God is this. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. This could apply to anyone in this room, okay? 2 Chronicles 16, 9. You might want to jot that down. I'm making it tough on you guys. The reason that you don't have notes in your bulletin and you're not getting it flashed on the screen is you're going to need to use your Bible and you're going to have to take notes that are important to you. Because God's going to speak to all of us at some point in time in this year, and you might want to jot some of this stuff down. So, 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." You know what? There's not a person in this room strong enough to live for Jesus by himself. But the beautiful thing is, God is going to strengthen you and make it possible that you can do so. He is doing some great things. And you know what? What's really cool about Abram, who became Abraham, he caught God's eye long before Jesus came on the scene. Abraham was working hard and doing his best. He wasn't perfect. Abraham was not a perfect man. He was a man who lived by faith as best he could. And his life record shows that he isn't perfect. He wasn't perfect. Even after he met God, and even after God was working with him and extending his faith and strengthening his faith, you remember the whole Hagar-Ishmael incident? That crops up in Galatians. We're going to look at that a little bit today. Here's the deal. He had faith in God, but he had a long way to go. And God can work with people like that. God can work with people like that. If you've got a little mustard seed of faith in God and you're willing to trust him, he can work with that. And he loves it when people start to water that little plant going, "I don't know, God. I want to give it some water, give it some sunshine. We're going to see where this thing goes." And as that grows, as your faith grows, some great things happen. But what's interesting is for God to do that in Abraham's life, Genesis chapter 12 says this. It says in verses 1 through 3, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you.' And he said, 'I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and all the people on the earth will be blessed through you.'" Now, here's what's interesting is this. Who are we talking about a little bit right here? Abraham. You know what? It's crazy. I don't know who Abraham's next door neighbor was back 5,000 years ago, 4,000 years ago, whenever he lived. But I know who Abraham was. He was a man of faith. And God said, "I'm going to make you famous for your faith, because you are trusting me." And he said, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." He made him a promise along the lines of his deepest desires. And the first promise he made to Abraham was according to the desire to live for and please God. He made himself known and stepped into Abraham's life. Abraham believed there was a God, and he did his best to do what he thought was right before him. And then God steps into Abraham's world and says, "Hey, man, here I am. I want you to know that I'm for you. I'm not against you." And he does this incredible thing. He begins to work in Abram's life, and it's not just once. It's not just a day or a weekend or a month, but years. Decades go by as he's working and fine-tuning his life. You ever feel like God's trying to fine-tune your life a little bit? Because I'm telling you what, faith in God will not leave you the same as you were yesterday. And you shouldn't be the same as you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You should be becoming something way different. And God made him a promise, and he's like, his deepest desire was to know God, but there was something else. What was Abraham and Sarah's problem? 100 years old, 90 years old, and they still hadn't had a kid yet. It probably wasn't for a lack of trying, but here they are going, "I give up." And you know what? Here's the thing about God. When we give up on our own ability and our own strength, he steps in and says, I can work with that. When we're told it's impossible, God says, really? Watch this. Watch this. When Abraham thought he was as good as dead and that the promise couldn't be fulfilled, God goes, I can work with that. And it says in Genesis 17, verses 1 through 9, when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty, and walk before me and be blameless. How'd you like those marching orders? Truth be told, you've already been given them. He says, I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell down face down. He goes, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will now be Abraham, for I have made you the father. Did you hear that? I have made you the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations out of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. You know what's interesting? He didn't say, you, Abraham, need to keep your promises to me. He says, you need to keep my covenant with you. You see, he did something for Abraham right there. He said, my covenant is perfect, unfailing, and everlasting. Your promises, based on human strength, won't keep it. But you keep faith and trust in my promises covenant with you. And what's really cool is he had gave him the desire to live to please God, and he said, I'm going to be in a relationship with you, and we're going to have faith, and he grew him in that. But he also met Abraham and Sarah with their desire of their hearts, which was a desire for a child. It said this, God also said to Abram, as for Sarah, your wife, I will no longer call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless you and surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be a mother of nations. Kings and peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell down, face down. He laughed and said to him, will a son be born of a man 100 years old? And will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Seriously, God? And God's like, oh, yeah. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. See, Abraham wasn't a perfect man of faith. Remember the whole Hagar and incident, and he has a son with Sarah's maidservant, and his name's Ishmael. And you see, Ishmael was not the child of promise that God had been promising to them all this whole time. He was a child of impatience. Anybody ever done anything impatiently while waiting for God? We all do. We all do. But those who live by faith and live patiently for God will be rewarded greatly. But even sometimes men and women of great faith have big doubts in God. Because here's the thing, the only thing that we really have to base our faith on and our ability to trust is what we see in each other, and that ain't much. But Abraham was being visited by God, who is always faithful, even to the faithless. Abraham was a man of great faith in God, but he still faltered and failed. But because God is always faithful, God keeps his promises and is amazing, able to do amazing things. Isaac was the child of promise of God that he gave to Abraham and Sarah. at 100 years old. Ladies, Sarah had a baby at 90. Be careful, okay? Because here's the deal. When your body can't and when you can't, that doesn't stop God's promises. It doesn't stop his provision, because God's promises and his covenants are not based on man's ability. It's based on God's grace, not us and our ability or righteousness. God will finish his work with or without your help. And the best thing you can do is let him do it. And do all you can to do what he promised. Remember the marching orders? Walk before me and be blameless. When we do that, he can get his work done a lot quicker through us. Heard something yesterday at the men's conference. Without God, men cannot. Without man, God will not. See, God's plan is to redeem the lost world through his Son, the Savior of the world, through his people, the children of God. So he's counting on each and every one of us to do his work, because we can, because he will, as long as we throw our hat in the ring with him. I love this. You ever been around somebody who's so awesome? You feel so inferior? That's this verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 through 15. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. I don't think he was that patient. Ishmael was the child of impatience. But God still did something in his life. So here's the deal. Think about this for a minute. How many of you have blown it since you've become a Christian? Raise your hand. Just everybody raise your stinking hand. Come on now. Every one of us do. Did God disqualify Abraham and kick him out of the family or the plan because of his mistakes and his failures? No. But what's interesting is this, is that he still received what was promised. God still kept his promise, because it's not based on us and our righteousness, our good things or our bad things. God says it, he does it. So why is it we are so caught up on that? It's because I think the Holy Spirit's convicting us of our sin and making us feel guilty because we're not living righteously and walking blamelessly with God. So if it's a little warm in here because of what's going on in your life because of sin, the best words of advice Bob Newhart ever gave in counseling, stop it. Stop sinning and do what's right before God. You'll sleep better. But what's interesting is this. It goes on. Galatians chapter 4. You guys didn't think I was ever going to get here. Galatians 4, 21 through 28. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, because we kind of do, because if we can find the checklist that says do this and don't do that, we've got something to measure ourselves by. You who want to live under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and the other by a free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in an ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise, God's promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for when women represent two covenants, one covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above, that's God, is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labor pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than the other who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. Now, what's interesting, I know, that's a lot of stuff. Let me boil that down and render it down into a nice little stock for you. Here's a beautiful thing. Those who are choosing to live apart from God's promise under the law are like all of us. They sin, fail, and fall short of the glory of God, and therefore they are separated from God. Okay? Simple. It doesn't matter what religion, what anything they are, what family they came from, if they're not choosing to live by faith in God, they're out. If they're not living according to God's promise and his provision, they're out. Now, those of us who are like Abraham, who choose to live by faith in God alone and his power and his promises and his provision, we are children of the promise and we're in. And because that is based on God's promise, provision, and covenant with us, the beautiful thing is it's not dependent on us. It's dependent on him and our trusting him. It's based on what he has done. I have made you the father of many nations. I have redeemed you at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ. That is what's important. Because that is what God has done, and he continues to work out and through us. And I know, like, the day after salvation, we don't feel that great, because guess what? Satan comes along and drops the laundry list of you scumbag. It says, you, Vince Wilczynski, scumbag of the earth, you deserve hell because of this. And the roll is longer than the naughty list on Santa's list. Definitely been on the naughty list. But God does something really cool. He lit a fire to the naughty list when I came to him by faith. Galatians 3:11, clearly no one is justified before God by the law. Nobody. Turn to the person next to you and say, nobody. Say nobody. One more time, because you're thinking somebody might be able to pull this off. Nobody. Thank you, kids. You're awesome for helping out. Nobody is justified before God by the law, but because the righteous will live by faith. I know I can't do it. I know I don't deserve it. God made a promise that he says, you know what? While you were yet a sinner, I loved you. And I've lived for you, I died for you, and you'll be mine. Okay. But you know what I did yesterday? Yeah, I watched the basketball game with you. Not good. Stop it. Okay. Come on, folks. We still act as Christians as if this depends on us being checking off on the good side of the list when he's going, dude, you're never going to be perfect, but I'll make you righteous. Ishmael and all who are like him, trying to be justified by the law, are bound to fail. They will never succeed. They all need a savior. Isaac, a child of promise, under faith, we become offspring of God because of it. We believe that the savior of the world, the Savior of the world loves us enough to care enough to help us. Not because of our faithfulness or our righteousness, but because of our faith in a God who is. Galatians 5:1-6, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, don't let yourselves be burdened again by your yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare that to every man who lets himself be circumcised, that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from the grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. You see, real faith expressed in love for God and for others is what matters. Loving rightly God and loving rightly the person next to you, like God would, is what matters. Loving God like He has loved us, loving others like God has loved us, that is what matters. Having faith in God and His promises that He is able to do in us what we can't do in ourselves, that's what matters. Because faith is not in ourselves, it's not in our abilities or our own righteousness, it's not in religion, the do's and don'ts of the law or the rules that we abide by, but it's doing what God desires because we love Him and He loves us more than we could ever imagine. And every day He opens up our eyes to how much He could love a wretch like me. See, faith is something we can put in God alone and His faithfulness and promises. And faith expressing itself in action based on a genuine love for God is something that He richly rewards. And we can have faith in God because God's always faithful and we can trust Him. He keeps His word always. Not just once in a while like we do, or some of the time like we try. Not most of the time on a good day, but always keeps His word and promise to us. And here's the cool thing. Write this down. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. This is the important thing for us. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I wish there was a period there, but there's a comma. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female. You all are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. Not your promise, I'll try to do better. No, it's God's promise that if you come to Him by faith, you will be saved. We are sons of God and daughters of God because of our faith in Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. We are baptized, covered, clothed with the imputed righteousness of Christ and on us if we live by faith and trust in Him and in God's promise. And it's available to anyone who is willing to live by faith in God and His faithfulness and promises to us. So let's round the barn and land this plane. Hopefully not like on Secondhand Lions where they kind of crashed upside down in the barn. Let me ask you, who is salvation and God's family open to and available to? Anyone. What makes it possible? God's promises to us. And how are we to respond? By faith alone in Christ alone, period. You know, if you're looking around the room today and you're seeing people who are going out and consistently messing up as Christians, you're looking at the wrong thing to base your faith on. Look to God and His word and His promises and His faithfulness to you. I will let you down. And all Wolzinski said, amen. And say, all God's children, I just said all Wolzinski's. They know better than anyone else that I will let you down. Larry, is that you? No? Okay. But here's the deal. God will never let you down. And God will do what you can't. So I need you guys to close your eyes and listen to these words. Cut all distractions out. Close your eyes and listen to these words in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you were once dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like everyone else, we by nature were objects of wrath. We were out of the family of God. We were not part of it. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions, because it's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus, parentheses, to the whole world, so that they could see. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So look at me. Look at me. Since God and his promises are always faithful, Galatians 3:26 through 29 rings true in your life if you have put your faith and trust in him. It says, you are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus, period. And you are heirs of his kingdom according to his promise, not your performance. See, nothing you've done can earn it. Why? Because it's based on God's promises and his faithfulness and his character, not yours. And you can only accept his promise and his faithfulness based on his character. And you can do it by faith. And if you cannot earn it, and it truly is a gift, God is the only one who can give it or take it back. You might believe from day to day that you've blown it so bad that you forfeited your right to be God's child. And he's going, I saw that coming, but I can't believe you were dumb enough to walk into it. But hey, I will work with you in this too. God loves you. He has before you knew him. He cares about you more than you ever know. Heck, he cares about you more than you care about. Yourself and your own eternity. And even after you've put your faith and trust in him, many have, like Abraham, doubted, wavered, and failed in sin. The Bible and the church is full of actively practicing sinners saved by grace through faith in the promises of God. He has not, nor will he ever, give up on you. Even though the people around you may. And before you responded to him by faith and accepted his promises and his faithfulness, while you were yet a sinner, Jesus Christ died for you as God promised. To save you as God promised. To redeem you as God promised. And to make you righteous and holy as God can only promise. Who made that promise? God. Can you trust him? Yeah, you can. So what's stopping you? Just you. Because it sure ain't God. So, as the worship team comes up, here's the challenge. I believe men should be men and women should be women. If you can bear children, you can bear a lot of pain, embarrassment, and humiliation. So maybe it's time. Don't want to make it easy on anybody. Because God's the one that makes it easy. We're the ones that make it real. He made the promise. It's time to trust him or not. The question is, will you put your faith in him? The one who's been faithful to you. And when you were incapable to be faithful to him, will you put your faith and trust in the one who has loved you more than you deserve? Because he cares. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like Larry McWorthy. Oh, and me too. How great your love is that you've lavished upon us. That while we didn't know you, you opened the door to allow us to become the sons and daughters of God. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because you have a plan, you've made a promise, and you always are faithful to keep your promises. So, Lord, there are people in this room who have made absolute messes of their lives. All of us have. There are those people who have not yet put their faith and trust in you in this room. There are people who have put their faith and trust in you and still are living in a mess. Right now, Lord, we come back to your throne of grace. And we say these simple things. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I put my faith and trust in you, Jesus, who died and rose to set me free from the law of sin and death, that I might have everlasting life. And even though I have failed you, and even though, like Abraham, I have doubted you, like Thomas, I come before you and say, Lord, I believe, I do. Help me overcome my unbelief. And help me live an upright and righteous life for you, so the whole world might trust you like I have today. In Jesus' precious name I pray, and all God's people said, amen.